This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's 7:36 right now on Friday, the 22nd of July. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Saini and Julian Ng. Now, coming up in the next half an hour, we've got the ECB. They kept rates steady. Amazon has entered into the student loan business. And Malindo Air has announced a new partnership with Qatar Airways. But let's start in Japan, where there's news that Japan is now crafting a massive spending package worth about $190 billion. They want to bolster the economy. So initially, they had budgeted about half that amount. Now the $190 billion is double the size initially floated. However, if you look at the breakdown, you look closely at the breakdown, it shows that the actual public spending will be far less than the headline number suggests. So analysts are calling it a paper tiger. What is a paper tiger? No teeth, no nail, no
it's claws. Yeah, as the name implies, it's a person or thing that appears threatening but ineffectual. And in fact, even if you take the gross number of almost $200 billion US, that stimulus appears to be quite small compared to the GDP of around 4 or 5 trillion. So this is about 5%, 4 to 5% of the GDP. Compare that to previous quantitative easing policies by Japan under Abenomics. You're talking about half a trillion US dollars a year, equivalent to more than 10% of GDP a year. So that's massive. And it happens yearly.
You know, based on my conversation with Tim Mulholland, our regular market analyst this morning, he argues that the yen is weakening and will continue to weaken until we see more details fleshed out from the BOJ meeting coming forward, until we see more stimulus plans being outlined.
Okay, but don't you think this is a good thing? Because, you know, in a small way, Japan is saying, you know, monetary policy can only do so much with their negative interest rates now. So they say, okay, fiscal spending is the way to do it. It may not be enough to bolster the economy, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction that most countries are not even undertaking.
Yep, it's certainly something needs to be done, but whether it has an effect on the economy or not remains to be seen, because if you look at last few years of Japanese GDP growth, it's been very weak, and it's a trend that is echoed by other places in the world, like Europe, except for the United States, which appears to be the strongest growing developed nation. But Japan, still very weak. They have a lot of problems. They have aging population. They had that GST, which they implemented, caused a whack to the economy. And, you know, going back to the weekend, that is something that the Japanese government wants, because it encourages exports. It's only bad for the currency traders who are buying Japanese yen, right? But otherwise, a weak Japanese yen is what the Japanese want.
So just looking very quickly at the Eurozone. So the ECB met and they left interest rates unchanged as expected. So they're kind of holding them to see whether there's going to be more improvements within the economy. But what Mario Draghi said was very important, and I think market watchers were looking closely at the words that he used and the statements that he made. So Draghi said that governments should do more fiscal spending as the monetary policy is limited in its effect.
That's right. They have their own version of quantitative easing, of course. One of the things is that, you know, quantitative easing involves buying of government bonds. And the ECB apparently does not have enough bonds to buy. So if they actually went to the
market, they don't have enough bonds.
Because there are rules as to what they can buy. Right. And following those rules, they would just be the entire market. That's not enough. And the other point is that some people think that Brexit is good for Mario Draghi's cause, because now it may weaken Germany's resolve as a very austere country and push Germany to spend more.
So the people who are happy, are they from Greece, perhaps, or some of the pigs nations, right?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. And possibly most of the entire Europe. You're talking about even France or Italy.
There you go. Okay, well, let's move over to the US. Amazon.com entering the student loan business in a partnership with Wells Fargo. So what they want to do is Wells Fargo will take half a percentage point off its interest rate on student loans for all the Amazon customers who pay for the Prime Student subscription. What do you guys think about an e-commerce platform tying up with a huge mortgage institution?
I think it's so interesting because Amazon is about 20 years old, one of the first dot-coms that was started back in the day. An old dot-com entering into a new fintech space. So this is a first, right, for I think very few old dot-coms have done this, and it's certainly a first for Amazon. I'm just wondering where this will go, and it's quite interesting.
I think America needs all the help it can get. If it comes from corporate America, then so be it. Because if you think about it, over 40 million Americans have student loans. Mm. And more than two-thirds of Americans who graduate with the first degree graduate with a debt. And right now, they have no access to actually supplement that debt other than the very high interest rate facilities made available to them. This includes payday loans and so on.
Yeah.
So if this works out, it may work towards the benefit of these people.
I mean, yes, student loans are a huge problem in the US. But I find it fascinating that Amazon, you know, with this kind of Prime student subscription, you get, you know, free two-day shipping, access to movies and TV and photo storage and all that. So very targeted to the young crowd. And the tie-up, then you get kind of a discount on your student loan interest rate. All this, I think, has added to the fact that Amazon is doing quite well at the moment. Jeff Bezos is now the third richest person on earth, just bypassed Warren Buffett.
Yep, the Buffett, I guess some people would say that this is an indictment against Buffett's policy not to touch dot-coms and the tech space, right? He only got into it recently. So now people are saying, hey, Amazon.com has won, but it has taken over 20 years. Perhaps Jeff Bezos could be the richest person going forward. I mean, we have to question why a huge bank like Wells Fargo would want to team up with Amazon. This is truly fintech, using the networking of Amazon to really sell loans.
So I'm guessing the richest man on this still Bill Gates. Who's number two on the list?
Amancio Ortega, the owner of Zara.
Zara, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in other news, Pokemon Go is seen to be a huge boon for Apple. Why? Because Apple stands to rake in at least $3 billion in revenue from the Pokemon Go craze in the next 2 or 3 years, because gamers will have to buy something called Poke Coins from its app storage. Poke Coins.
So what?
99 cents.
Poke Coins? Poke Coins? Not Poke Coins?
It's called Poke Coins.
Poke Coins. Poke Thank
coins.
You. Poke
it's
coins.
Japanese. Yes.
when Pokemon Go was first launched, everybody thought that Nintendo was the one that will be standing to gain the most. But after a few days, not even weeks, after a few days of launching, everybody had a serious thought and reviewed the whole situation and said, Apple is going to be the big winner for Pokemon Go, not Nintendo, because of things like this.
The price for Nintendo has gone up 50%. So I think Nintendo has benefited greatly. This is like a godsend for Nintendo. But Apple, $3 billion revenue is very, very small compared to overall revenue. But I mean, it's a bonus. It's going to be a bonus for Apple. And who knows where this will go? Because if you look at the number of active users for Pokemon, it's kind of equal to Twitter now. After a few days of launch.
I cannot imagine that there are as many active users of Pokemon Go as there are Twitter users. But you know, not just PokeCoins as an economy for that Pokemon has created for Apple, but there's a wider ecosystem when it comes to this. So the Pokeonomics. Someone help me out.
Right.
Pokeonomics.
Yes.
Jeez. McDonald's said that they might be tying up with Pokemon Go, and they saw their share price skyrocket after that. So clearly, this Pokemon Go craze is not going anywhere. And you shouldn't go anywhere, because we're going to be looking at the Malaysian business landscape after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.